The branch line was creeping slowly through the countryside when suddenly it came to a dead stop. The only passenger in the train car at the time was a car salesman riding the line for the first time. And so he asked the conductor, he asked why they had stopped. And the conductor said, "Nothing to worry about, sir. There's a cow on the tracks out here." And after about a 10-minute wait, the train got underway again. But after chugging along for a mile or two again, it grounded to a halt again. "Just a temporary delay," the conductor said. "We'll be on our way shortly." Well, of course, this salesman, wanting to get to his destiny, was kind of exasperated about it all. And so he asked, "What is it now? Did we catch up to the cow again?" Well, I guess the poor salesman wasn't very impressed with the slow travel of that train on that particular day. He wasn't experiencing great success in his travels that day, obviously. And yes, all of us are travelers down the road of life. I wonder how successful our travels on the road ahead in life in the year of 2020 will be. How successful our travels will be on the road of 2020, I believe, depend on how obedient we are to God's roadmap for successful living, the precious Word of God. The Lord made this absolutely clear to young Joshua, his newly appointed leader to take over from Moses in leading the nation of Israel to the promised land. Listen to the words of the Lord to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. You don't need to turn to it. We're going to get into Hebrews here in a moment, but this is just kind of leading into it here. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7. Only be strong, God says to Joshua, and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go or be successful. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. And then notice what he says, and then you will have good success. So you cannot travel successfully in 2020 apart from this book and obedience to this book and meditating on this book every day. You want your life to be successful, then you and I need to make a top priority to spend time meditating on the timeless truths of the Word of God, our roadmap for living in the year of 2020. So do you see this morning how success in life depends on meditating on the Scriptures and obeying the Scriptures? He says meditate, and then he says do what you just read, what the Scriptures say. So what is God saying here to us? I believe God is saying to us, if you're going to travel life's road successfully in 2020, you need to meditate on and you need to do what I command you to do in my holy word, is what I believe God is saying to us here today. With obedience to God's word in mind, come with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, over in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 12. And again, we don't know who the actual author of the book of Hebrews is. Many tend to believe the Apostle Paul is the author, but we do not know for sure. But it certainly was inspired of the Holy Spirit for each and every one of us here today. So Hebrews chapter 12. Let me begin reading at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and following. "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance," or patience, "the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." We're thankful for that, aren't we? "Despising the shame, and has now sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." That's where Jesus is now. "For consider him," that is, consider Jesus, "who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." And doesn't that sometimes happen if we don't remember and consider Christ? And then jump down to verse 12. "Therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord." Did you notice in this passage some verbs or some action words. Actually, there are five verbs or words that incite action on our part here in these verses that I just read to you. You might want to circle them in your Bible. There's the word lay aside, verse 1. There's the word run, verse 1. There's the word looking, verse 2. There's the word consider, verse 3. And the word follow or pursue in some translations in verse 14. So five action words or verbs that are given here in these verses. And so, beloved, with these five actions in mind, if we heed them, we will be well on our way to traveling successfully on life's road in 2020. The first two we examined last Sunday in verse 1. What were they? Lay aside your weights, that is, any habits or any things or places or people that hinder our spiritual progress or our Christian growth. We're to lay those aside. Any sins that we have in our life, we're to confess them to the Lord and make things right with the Lord. Secondly, run with patience or with endurance the race that is set before you. Remember, the Christian life is not a 100-yard dash. The Christian life is a marathon race of endurance to the end, till death calls us home or until the rapture happens, which, by the way, could be at any moment. We're waiting for that. That's the next event on God's calendar is the rapture of the church. Are you ready and watching for his soon return? Action number 3, as we begin this morning, to pick up here this morning. Action number 3, keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Isn't it so, aren't we so prone to keep our eyes on everything else around us that's going on and we forget to look up? I'm guilty of that. We get so consumed with the issues and the problems and the needs and the burdens that seem to overwhelm us in life, and we forget to look up. We forget to keep our eyes on Jesus. And we remember Peter and his incident on that. We'll mention that in a moment. But he says here in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, or the beginner of our faith and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. What's our action word here, class? It's the word looking. Looking. Looking means to turn your eyes away from other things and to fix your eyes on one thing and have a one-mind focus, or be single-minded in your focus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Christ. Fix your eyes on Christ and turn away from other things that can kind of sidetrack us if we're not careful. Thinking back to our whitewater rafting trip down into Maine with our young people, and I think the first one, I remember Jody was on that one, and Jody and Amy and other, and then Nick, I think you were on the second one when we went up to Quebec there. Nick was on that one, the whitewater rafting, and that was an amazing adventure, amazing experience. I know personally for myself to have never whitewater rafted before, and having that opportunity, it was a high adrenaline thing for sure. And what an amazing experience that was that I'll never forget. An adrenaline high for sure. I vividly remember as we would be on our raft and we're going down that river and coming to another big white water hole, we'd have our eyes glued to that hole. Are we going to make it through this hole or not? Or are we going to go overboard and whatnot? And we weren't looking at anything else. Our eyes were fixed on that big mama or whatever the next water hole was. They all had names. Our goal, as we listened to our raft guide and as we paddled, as he instructed us, was to get through each of those big ones, those big water holes, without upsetting the raft. As long as we kept our eyes and our ears fixed on how and when our guide wanted us to be paddling through the hole in those white water rapids, we would make it. And sure enough, we made it without one going overboard in that whole experience. The verb looking or fixing our eyes is kind of like some of us will be when Canada goes for gold medal this afternoon. Our eyes are going to be fixed on that television as they go for a gold medal against the Russians in the World Junior Hockey Championships today. Our eyes are going to be fixed. For those of you who are hockey enthusiasts, our eyes will be glued to that television set during that game. More importantly than whitewater rafting, more importantly, certainly than hockey, dear Christian, this morning is our eyes need to be fixed on Jesus Christ. And we need to turn away our mind and our thinking from other things and other places and other activities or people that influence us in a wrong way. And we need to get our view of Christ. We need to put them aside. We need to turn away from anything that would hinder our view of Christ. Colossians 3:2 says, set your affection, that is your mind and your ambitions, on things above. That is on Jesus and eternal values, not on the things of this earth. And aren't we so prone to do that today? Because we live in such a materialistic world today. So easy to get our eyes on the temporal and not on the eternal if we're not careful. And the eternal is the word of God being proclaimed, the souls of men and women being exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ and hearing the gospel, and the building up of the church, the body of Christ, both here at Cornerstone and around the world. Those are the eternal things that our mind and our affections need to be set upon in our lives. You remember Peter, while he was walking on the water. Now, let's not be too hard on Peter now. Remember, he was the only one that got out of the boat, right? He was the only one who had faith to get out of the boat to walk on the water. So let's keep that in mind. But you remember as he was walking along the water and the waves were roaring up around his feet, and he soon took his eyes off of Jesus, and we know what he began to do. He began to sink in the water, didn't he? And, of course, he hollers out, Lord, save me. And the Lord reaches out and grabs his hand and picks him up. And they get to the boat, back into the boat together. And Jesus says to them, oh, you of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? And it's the same with us, is it not? The moment we take our eyes off of Jesus, our focus off of Jesus, we begin to fall. We begin to fall. We begin to doubt what God can do. And our faith wavers, and it wanes. So it's so crucial, beloved, this morning that we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and not on anything or anyone else if we expect to travel successfully in the year of 2020. The prophet Isaiah wrote, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Isaiah 26:3. Action number 4, consider Christ. Consider Christ. Notice verse 3. For consider him, that is Christ, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. And doesn't that sometimes happen, huh? Because we get our eyes off of Christ. We don't think about him as we should. And we get overwhelmed with life, and we become weary, and we become faint, and we become discouraged because we're not spending time with the Lord. We're not thinking about him. We're not considering him as we should be. And I know this is something the Lord has been teaching me more and more. So the picture now changes here from a race, which he talked about back in verse 1 and 2. And he's now talking about a fight. It was a race, and now it's a fight against sin in our lives. And our undaunted captain is the Lord Jesus Christ. No one ever endured such hostility from sinners as Jesus did. Keep in mind, the action word here is consider. And this involves the idea of comparison. It's an accounting word. And as an accountant would compare the various columns of a balance sheet, we who are believers in Jesus Christ are to compare our sufferings to the torture Christ endured on our behalf. And so, my dear brother and sister in Christ, whenever we have a tendency to, as verse 3b says, become weary and faint or discouraged, as the New King James Version says, what should we do? Just what verse 3 says. Consider or think of Jesus and what he went through and how he endured so much shame and rejection and hatred and hostility at the hands of sinners, and of course the horrendous pain and the sufferings on the cross for you and I. And when we do that, our trials will seem trifling by comparison, will they not? They certainly will. Now, the other side of the coin is, if we don't consider Christ, we'll soon start to dwell on ourselves. Huh? Yeah, we soon start to dwell on ourselves, and we start to dwell on our disappointments and our discouragement and our bitter memories and our past hurts and all that. And the ramification of that scenario will only lead us to verse 3, what verse 3 says, to become weary and faint or discouraged and end up giving up. And that's why Paul wrote in Galatians 6, 9, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we what? Faint not, if we don't give up, if we endure and persevere. Boy, have I ever needed this message? How about you? I think we could all say we've needed this message. We're weary and faint and discouraged not to give up. And so, dear ones, when you feel like fainting, when you feel like giving up, throwing in the towel on traveling this Christian life and the difficult road of the Christian life, would you remember this powerful biblical truth? Now, stay with me on that. This powerful biblical truth is summed up in 5 words. Write them down, if you would. I can't, but Christ can. Write that down. I can't, but Christ can. As the Bible teacher and author, Pastor Charles Stanley, put it, just these 5 words, I can't, but Christ can, believed and acted upon, can dramatically affect your behavior in adverse conditions, refocus your thoughts about your potential, usher in a new hope for ingrained habits, and create an expectant climate of faith for God to work. End of quote. And that's what we need to do, individually and as a church body cooperatively. And what are the 5 key words again? What are the 5 key words again? I can't, but Christ can. I can't, but Christ can. Can you say them with me? Here we go. I can't, but Christ can. Don't forget it. I can't, but Christ can. Jesus said in John 15:5, without me you can do nothing. And then I love the words of the Apostle Paul, Philippians 4:13, a life verse of many. I can do all things. I can do all things in myself or through myself. No, through Christ who strengtheneth me. Wow. Don't we need that reminder this morning? The Greek word for strengthen us here is a word of dunamos, from which we get our English word dynamite or energize. You see, church, God energizes us when we allow him to work through us rather than try to do it on our own strength. This is something God is teaching me lately. And it's when I come to the end of myself, my own strength, and admit my own inadequacies and let go and let Christ take over, then I'll see how he can work through me to accomplish his plans for me. For every I can't you and I may think of in 2020, Christ always replies, I can. I can. I can't make this relationship work, you say? I can do the impossible, Christ says. I can't get victory over this bad habit or this temptation, you exclaim? I can give you the power to say no and to get victory, Christ says. I can't serve as an elder or as an Awana leader or lead music or do the treasury work or work in kids worship or on the outreach team or enclosed to you. You say, I can equip you. I can help you. I can empower you. I can energize you for the task, Christ says. I can't lead or shepherd this church. And Christ responds, I will shepherd and care for this church through you. I can't witness to my loved one or my neighbor or my colleague at work, you admit. And Christ responds, I can empower you to witness through my Holy Spirit who lives in you. And he can give you the boldness and he can give you the words to say. I can't deal with this heartache. I can't deal with this pain. I can't deal with this stress any longer, you think. And then Christ says, I comfort you and I will give you my grace sufficient for your need. Do you believe that this morning, beloved? I can't juggle all these responsibilities as a husband, as a wife, as a parent, or in the workplace, or my responsibilities in the church, we might bemoan. And then Christ says, I can strengthen you, and I can give you wisdom, if you ask. So dear brother, dear sister in Christ, God has an agenda for you in 2020, and for me. And he wants you and I to honor him in all of the details of our life. And for that to happen, he must accomplish his work through you via the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because we cannot do it apart from the Holy Spirit in our lives. This brings us to action number 5. If I am to travel successfully in 2020, pursue peace and holiness. Pursue peace and holiness. Verse 14, the writer of Hebrews says, pursue peace with all people. All people. That covers everybody, doesn't it? Even your enemies. Or those who might persecute you. Or be hostile to you. Or be unloving and unforgiving to you. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. What's the verb here? The action word here is the word follow. It's another action word, and it's an athletic term. One good reason to believe that the Apostle Paul perhaps wrote this book, because the Apostle Paul often in his writings used athletic terms. The Greek word follow, according to my Greek scholar friend, Mr. Wiest, in his word study, means to run swiftly in order to catch some person or thing, or to seek after eagerly. So to run swiftly in order to catch some person or something, or to seek after eagerly. A synonym word for the word follow is the word pursue. Pursue. So are you with me this morning? Picture for me, with me this morning, for a moment, an Olympic Canadian speed skater who gets off to a slow start on the speed skating track in the Olympic Oval building. But he is pursuing. He's following after. He's trying to catch up to the 3 skaters that are in front of him. And with every stride, he presses harder around that icy track. And you can see the muscles in his legs bulging. And you can see the concentration and the determination in his face to win that race. And with each lap, he's gaining ground. One more lap to go. He's almost caught the lead skater. The Canadian fans are, of course, plodding him on, and they're going wild as he's almost ready to cross the line and perhaps win the race. And just in the last 3 meters, he passes the skater just ahead of him, and he wins Olympic gold for Canada. So too, each believer here this morning is to be pursuing eagerly, following after with concentration and with determination to attain peace with all men and holiness before the Lord. Why? So that we might obtain the prize. Just as that Olympic speed skater wanted to attain that gold medal, we too determine peace with all men and holiness with the Lord, because we want to obtain the prize. And what is the prize? The prize is the incorruptible crown that Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 27. You can jot it down and read about it. And this incorruptible crown is known as the runner's crown. You and I are runners in the race of life. We are. And it's given to those Christians, this crown will be given to Christians who render Christian service to the end of their life on earth and hear Jesus the judge say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You will receive that crown, the runner's crown. Praise God. And isn't that what you want, dear Christian, this morning? You want to finish well. You want to run this race called the Christian life well. You want to be faithful to the end. And you want to endure to the end. And you don't want to get sidetracked. You don't want to get off the track. You want to finish well for your Lord. And you want to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And then you will travel successfully in the year ahead. Every athlete or runner has a goal in mind. And that goal is to cross the finish line and to win the race and to receive the prize or the medal. And as we run the Christian race, it ought to be the goal of every believer, every follower of Jesus Christ, ought to be 2 goals, 2 things. Verse 14, peace with all men and holiness before the Lord. So true, every Christian should strive for peaceable relationships with all men or all people at all times. correct? That means in my marriage, my relationship with my spouse, it means with my family members, my children, my daughters-in-laws, sons-in-laws, my grandchildren. It means with those that I work with, my colleagues at work, my classmates at school, my neighbors, as well as the brethren in my church. I am to strive for peaceable relations with all people. Listen to what Paul said to the body of Christ, to all the members of the body of Christ, Romans 14:19. He said, "Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another." That's Romans 14:19. And folks, if I cannot say it is well with my soul, and there's no one that I feel ill towards or hatred towards or bitterness towards or hold a grudge toward or have anything against, then I'm not at peace with all men. If I cannot say that. So what do I need to do to regain peace with all men? Two things. I need to confess the sin to the Lord. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. And then secondly, I need to go to that brother or that person and make it right. That brother in Christ, or that loved one, or that friend, or that neighbor, I need to go to them. I need to make it right. Either I need to call them, or I need to go to them personally and make it right. What you did hurt me, and I have been wrong to hold this against you, and I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And you know, when we do that, it's like a heavy load lifted when you do that. You husbands and wives know what that's all about, right? It happens to you. It happens to me, doesn't it? And it's so easy to happen to us, like a heavy load lifted when you do, and a beautiful peace comes over you when you do that. And then the second goal you and I ought to be pursuing in 2020 is holiness before the Lord. If there's one thing we need more of in our churches today is holiness, without which no one can see God. I can't see God if not living a holy life, a life set apart from sin and totally dedicated to God, to pleasing God. The Bible also calls this sanctification. So holiness or sanctification means living a life separated from sin and dedicated to pleasing God and growing to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ at all times. So this holiness we must work at, cultivate continually, if I am to see God and know His presence and power daily in my life as a believer, I must live a holy life, a separated life, separated from the world and sin and complete obedience unto the Lord. As Jesus in one of His Beatitudes said in Matthew 5:8, said, "Blessed or happy are the pure in heart, or the lowly, for they shall see God." Do you see how we must daily pursue this holiness if we are to travel successfully in 2020? And I believe as we see the holiness of God, the more holy in a practical sense we will want to live, both when we come to church on Sunday morning, as well as when we go to work or to school or to the supermarket or wherever on Monday morning or Tuesday morning, etc. That's why the Lord said in 1 Peter 1:15, "You be holy, for I am holy," or "as I am holy," in all manner of living. So holiness really is simply Christ-likeness, or living like Christ. I wonder, do others see Jesus in me, in my conduct at work, at school, in my neighborhood, or at the gymnasium, or in the community store, or in my speech, or in my attitude? Do they see Jesus in me? And one more thought here. In my studies, I've discovered that the verb "follow" here is in the present imperative tense, and which means that I am to do it right now, at this present time, but also I am to continue doing it future tense. With this in mind, the writer of Hebrews is saying to us, keep pursuing peace with all men and holiness before the Lord right now and into the day, each day of 2020. So let's heed these five actions this morning so that we can travel successfully in the new year ahead of us in 2020. Let's lay aside any weights or any sins that may ensnare us or may hinder us in our journey. Let's run the race before us with patience and endurance till Jesus comes. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus Christ and not on the things of this world. Let's consider Christ and how he endured such hostility from sinners to keep on keeping on when we too face opposition from others. And last but not least, let's never stop pursuing peace with all men and holiness with the Lord until Jesus comes or until death calls us home. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. With every head bowed, every eye closed this morning, will you join with me this morning in committing to these five actions to travel successfully in 2020? Will you commit to that this morning? If that's your desire, with every hand or every head bowed, would you just slip up your hand and say, "Pastor, that's my desire. I want to commit to these five actions to travel successfully in 2020. Just slip up your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Very many, many hands going up. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's a commitment on your part and my part here this morning to slip it up and put it down. Thank you very much. And praise the Lord. Father, we're so thankful for your presence here this morning. And Lord, it is indeed our prayer with our uplifted hands to commit to these five actions to travel successfully in 2020. And I know personally that is my prayer and my desire. And I'm so thankful for the desire of many here this morning with their uplifted hand to say, "Hey, I want to commit myself to these five actions to travel successfully in 2020. So Lord, enable them to do that. And Lord, it won't be in our own strength, but it'll be in the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. And we want to be careful to give you the praise and the thanksgiving for that. So minister by your Spirit to these dear people here this morning. Encourage us in our walk with the Lord. Strengthen us in these days as we persevere and as we seek peace with all men and as we seek to live a holy life before God. And Lord, that we would be faithful to that end and endure and run this race with patience and endurance and always be looking unto Jesus and looking to him and fixing our mind focused upon him each and every day and considering all that he's done and what he went through on our behalf. And what we go through is really amounts to very little in comparison to what he has done and gone through for us. So we thank you for that this morning and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.